So it's a parable of the sower, Matthew 13, verse 1, first of all, verses 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Now we'll pick up the reading again in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So we thank God for the reading of his word. A sower went out to sow the seed. As soon as we hear those words, we think about this wonderful parable that the Lord Jesus told. Parable of the sower, or probably more accurately, the parable of the soils, because it's actually all to do with the soil. But we've always known it as a parable of the sower. I used to visit an elderly man who'd been a teacher in a primary school in Devon. He told me that one day the school inspector arrived and came into his classroom. Always a very fearsome prospect, wasn't it, when that happened? And on the board was written the word parable. And the inspector latched on to this word and asked the class, who can tell me what a parable is? One pupil stood up. Yes, sir. A parable is a heavenly story with no earthly meaning. Now, of course, he got it the wrong way round, hadn't he? As someone reminded me this morning, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Or had he got it the wrong way round? Sometimes these parables of the Lord Jesus are difficult to understand. The disciples thought so, didn't they? And aren't we glad that they asked the question and later on asked Jesus to explain another parable? Very grateful to these disciples, you know, because they helped us by getting from the Lord Jesus the interpretation of at least two of these parables in this chapter. So Jesus gives us the understanding. He wants us to know what the parable means. And of course, by doing that, Jesus is giving us the key to understanding all parables. If we can understand this parable, we'll be able to understand all parables, because we'll see what Jesus is doing in a parable. He's got one great message. The parables are not just good stories, you see. They're not just good stories. They are. They're tremendous stories, but they're not just good stories. They are stories that have one purpose, one meaning, And they drive home this great meaning. So this is the first main parable that the Lord Jesus told. He's briefly mentioned the wise and foolish builders in Matthew 7, and he's made a comparison of the new wine and the new cloth in Matthew chapter 9. But this is really the first of the main parables. And Jesus himself tells us what it means. And we are very grateful for the disciples asking the question and for Jesus giving the answer. So we know that the seed is the message about the kingdom. That's what the seed is. The seed is the word of the gospel, the message of the kingdom, or the word of the kingdom. Look at that in verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom. So that's what the seed is. Seed is the message about the kingdom. The seed is the word of the gospel, or we might say the gospel message. That's what the seed is. The kingdom of heaven. The gospel message comes from heaven, you see. It comes from heaven. It doesn't come from earth. There's no way that anyone on earth would ever dream up a gospel message like the one that is true and that we hear from the Lord Jesus. No, the gospel message originates in heaven and it leads us to heaven. That is it, a heavenly kingdom. The word of God is a message about the King, Jesus. And it's a very powerful word. It's the law of God and it comes from his mouth. So it carries great authority. And it's also a very life-giving word. Just as a seed has life within it, it has that great potential to germinate and to grow into something far, far greater than it appears at first. So the gospel has great life potential in it, power to bring new life to those who hear. In fact, the gospel has power to produce fruit in people's lives. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, in Colossians 1 verses 5 and 6, this is what he said. He says, "This you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you all over the world. This gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth." And that's still true today. All over the world, this gospel is growing and bearing fruit. Right now, tonight, there are many people hearing the gospel message. Already in other parts of the world, people have heard the gospel message. There are some yet to hear the gospel message because they're behind us in time. And as the sun gradually sets across this world, people will be hearing the gospel. And you can be absolutely certain that that gospel is growing and bearing fruit as people hear it. The gospel is the seed, you see. The seed is the gospel. What about the sower? Well, the sower, the NIV has the farmer. I don't know why they don't say the sower. But the sower is the one who goes out and preaches to people. Now, here it's Jesus, isn't it? And supremely, Jesus is the sower. Jesus is the one who first sowed the gospel seed. And what he's doing as he tells this parable is he's explaining what he's actually doing right there and then. Because he's standing in a boat. And on the shore, there are crowds of people gathered. And Jesus teaches them, telling them many things in parables. So what he's saying is, I'm going to tell you a parable to explain exactly what I'm doing right now. And he's standing in a boat and he's telling the people these glorious truths about the kingdom of heaven. But he's telling them in a story form, a parable form. So Jesus is supremely the sower of the gospel. The gospel comes from Jesus. The gospel is about Jesus. The gospel leads us to Jesus. And Jesus himself is the greatest and the first of the gospel preachers. And he still preaches the gospel today. The Lord Jesus is still sowing gospel seed today. He does it through gospel preachers. He does it through those who will go and share the good news of the Lord Jesus, because they are fellow workers. As Paul again says, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Notice that. We are God's fellow workers. The preacher is never working independently. He is working alongside God, who is always at work. Always at work. So the sower is the one who preaches supremely. It's the Lord Jesus himself who preaches the gospel and his servants or messengers. The ground. What's the ground? Well, the ground is the hearts of men and women and young people, whose hearts, your heart, my heart, our hearts are like soil, says the Lord Jesus. Your heart is like soil, capable of bearing fruit if the conditions are right. And so, what do we need in order to bear fruit from hearing this gospel? Well, we need to be able to see it, we need to be able to hear it, and we need to be able to understand it. All these are necessary before someone can bear fruit for God. In other words, you've got to be able to receive the word of God. You're not going to receive it unless you hear it. So you've got to hear it, you've got to receive it, you've got to understand it, you've got to embrace it. It needs to find a place deep in your heart. So that is what the Lord Jesus is telling us in this wonderful parable. But of course, he tells us that not all human hearts are suitable ground for the message of the kingdom to take root and bear fruit, because the problem is the human heart. There are many people today who try to discover what the problem is in the world. What is the cause of all the trouble that we have in the world? Why is it that increasingly in our schools we're finding children misbehaving? Why is it that we find that families struggle with their children? Why is it that we find that couples struggle to keep together in marriage relationship? Why is it that we find antisocial behavior? Why is it that there is violence and strife? Why are these things happening? What is the cause of it? And of course, there are many people who will offer all sorts of suggestions as to what might be the cause. But you see, everything that is suggested is always a symptom. It's never a cause. The Lord Jesus alone, who knows the human condition, diagnoses the true problem. The true problem is the human heart. The problem is never out there. The problem is always in the human heart. Of course, all those other factors, they all have a part to play, but they are not the cause. The cause of all the trouble in our own lives and in our society is always the human heart. And what Jesus is telling us here is that there are four different types of heart. And people who listen to the gospel, they will always have one of four different types of heart. And they relate to these four different soil types. The path, or the hard soil, shallow ground, or the rocky soil, the thorny ground, or the good soil. And notice that in Jesus' story, in his parable, three out of four types of heart never come to fruitfulness. In other words, I don't think the Lord Jesus necessarily wanted us to see the proportions in this way, but if you went by Jesus' parable, three quarters of those who hear the message of Jesus never come to him for salvation, never seek God, never make it into the kingdom of heaven. And that's very sobering, isn't it? Because we are living in days when we expect people to respond to the message, and we are often surprised when they don't. But at the very least, the Lord Jesus' parable shows us that we are to expect there to be perhaps many who reject the gospel message. Church attendance, a Sunday school upbringing, hearing the truth about Jesus will never produce a single Christian amongst those whose hearts are not prepared. The soil has got to be right if the gospel is to be effective. And even amongst Jesus' hearers, you see, even amongst Jesus' hearers, we sometimes think, well, our preachers are very inadequate. And that's quite true, isn't it? Every preacher is inadequate. Every preacher is weak. Every preacher never preaches quite that good enough sermon. That's always true. But even with Jesus, who preached the perfect sermons, there were still those who walked away without coming to him for salvation. And he explains why in this passage. The majority walked away unchanged. Even though they heard the earthly story, they never embraced the heavenly meaning. And why? Why is that? Why are all these hearts so different? Well, the one that should surprise us is not the hard heart, not the shallow heart, not the preoccupied heart. The one that should really surprise us is the good heart. Why should anybody's heart be good? When we know that the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what should surprise us. We should look at this and say, well, what is it that makes a good heart? What is it that makes somebody receptive to the gospel? How is it that there is at least this last soil that is good soil? And the answer to that is found throughout the Bible, isn't it? You must be born again. The Lord Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. No one can ever see the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again. What does that mean? Well, it means that you need to have the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart. The Spirit gives birth to spirit, says Jesus in John chapter 3. If you and I are ever going to have a good heart, it will only be through the work of the Holy Spirit. It'll only be the work of God. If you and I are ever going to bring fruit out of our gospel hearing, out of hearing the preaching of the word, it will only ever be because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know you know that today is the ninth day after Trinity. I know that you know that. And the collect for today in the Anglican Church is this: grant to us, Lord, we beseech thee, the Spirit to think and do always such things as be right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without thee may be by thee be enabled to live according to thy will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful prayer that is. It's true, isn't it? That is the truth. Grant to us, Lord. We're asking the Lord, grant to us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as be right. Why? Because we cannot do anything that is good without thee. We need to understand that. We cannot do anything without God. If today, by God's grace, you have a good heart that receives a message, and if it produces fruit in your life, it is because of the grace of God. It is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why it ought not to surprise us when people reject the gospel, because it's a heart that needs to be right. So how do you know if your heart is right? How do you know if you've been born again? Well, according to the parable, the evidence is the way that you receive the word of God. That's it. The way that you receive the word of God. As you come and you listen to the word of God, as you read the word of God privately perhaps, as you talk about the word of God with other Christians, how do you receive the word? The word is seed. There's nothing wrong with the word. It's the seed of God. Sometimes you buy packets of seed and some of it doesn't grow, does it? And sometimes the problem is with the seed. Sometimes the problem's with the seed. But here, in this case, there's no problem with the seed. Seed is always good. The gospel always has within it that glorious power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So the problem is never in the gospel. The problem is always in our hearts. So how do you know? How do you know whether your heart is right and good? This is fundamental, isn't it? This is crucial for us. Well, let's compare the three hearts that do not respond with the heart that does. And ask ourselves tonight three questions. Here's the first. Do you have a hard heart or a soft heart? The path represents the hard heart. Verse 19. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. Now, of course, the soil along the path has been trodden down hard by many feet. As people have walked by the side of the field, or perhaps taken a route across the field, so the soil has been compacted and is rock hard. We've seen rock hard soil around us over these last few weeks, haven't we? And there is nothing that can penetrate. And so the rain falls as it did yesterday, and it just runs off, because even the rain can't penetrate, let alone the seed. And that is the picture that Jesus has here. What are these people? Well, these are people who hear, but they do not receive the word of God. They hear, but they do not receive it because they don't understand it. It's necessary to hear the word, of course, but it's also necessary to receive it, to understand it. And it's their own fault. They don't take hold of it. They have no desire to understand it. They're distracted by other things as they listen. You know, if you're thoughtless and careless about the message of the gospel, you are an easy prey for the devil. Like the birds of the air, he will come down and he will snatch away that message even before it settles in your mind. As it enters your ears, it disappears. It never gets as far as your mind, let alone your heart. You don't receive it. You don't think about it. It just disappears. It goes in one ear and out the other. We need to give careful consideration to the word of God. It is the word from heaven. The gospel is a word from heaven. It alone has power to save us. And it is for our own good that we should hear it. But the path represents a hard heart that doesn't hear the word, that hears the word but does not understand it. Never concerned about it, really. Not bothered, brushing it off. Not interested, thank you very much, not interested at all. The good soil, on the other hand, represents the soft heart. Whereas the path is the hard heart, the good soil is soft, isn't it? Verse 23, the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. So the soft heart is a heart that receives the word of God and understands it. It makes sense. It doesn't bounce off the mind. It doesn't leave the mind. It enters the thoughts. It's received there in the mind. The mind is eager to receive it. We have seen people, haven't we, on the edge of their seats listening to the word of God. I've seen that. You've seen that. Perhaps a long time in their lives they've been sat back, wandering, looking around everywhere, interested in counting the bricks, counting up the hymn numbers, all sorts of things, you know. And then one day you see that something's happening. Something's happening because they're paying attention. They're listening. And you say, God is at work in that heart. God is at work. Because their heart is beginning to receive that word. Something's happening. And all that is a sign that God is at work. His word is being listened to. If you want to know whether you've got a good soul, a good heart, then do you receive the word of God? Are you eager to receive it? Do you want to know what it means? Have you got an inquiring mind that says, I don't really understand that. I want to find out more about that. I'm going to ask somebody to explain that to me. Oh, there's a sign of a good heart, a heart that is soft, a heart that wants to know. And we look for this in our children, don't we? In Sunday school, we look for it in our young people, in Bible class, those who come to church. We look for them eager to understand the Word of God. For our friends who we've been praying for and witnessing to, we look for it in our own hearts as well, first of all. Do you have a hard heart or do you have a soft heart? All depends on how you're receiving the Word of God. And then here's a second question. Do you have a shallow heart or a deep heart? Do you have a shallow heart or a deep heart? Now, the rocky places, the shallow ground, you see, this is the problem. Now, this type of soil, says Jesus, is where there is a thin layer of soil, but underneath you quickly reach the rock. So when the seed is sown into this soil, it does start to grow because it's in soil, but its roots cannot go down deeply. See, everything looks so promising with this, and this is often the case with people, isn't it? You have such good hopes of people, haven't you done that? You had such good hopes of your friends. They begin to come to church. They begin to listen to the Word of God. They begin to start saying things that encourage you, and sometimes very quickly they do that. They're eager to hear. They're quick to accept the Word. Perhaps they're too quick. Perhaps there can be this sense of being too quick to accept the gospel, to just accept it all without any questions, any desire to really go deep into the Word of God, swallowing it all whole perhaps rather than chewing on it to test its truth and value. I don't know. But you see, sometimes people are very quick to understand, very quick to accept. And they sometimes accept it with great joy as well. You see them so happy. I'm so happy, they say. Since I came to church, my life's completely different. It's all wonderful. Everything's wonderful. They're quick to show its effectiveness, perhaps, in their life. But it doesn't last. That's the problem. It doesn't last. It's not actually a true planting. These people have not actually come to Jesus. They have not really had their hearts changed by him. Their hearts are still not right. The soil was not right for this seed. The heart was not truly good. Why is that? Well, as Jesus explains here, they had no root. Verse 21. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. There's the first problem. This person doesn't have any root. You see, in order to be saved, you and I have to be rooted and grounded in Christ. We have to be. If you are not rooted in Christ, that is, if you are not finding your stability, if you're not drawing your life from the Savior, then you have no means of sustaining that Christian life that you're trying to live. The Christian life can only be lived when our roots are in Christ. It is Christ who must change the heart, and then the life will come. If you try to live a Christian life, but you are not connected to Jesus, you cannot last. It's impossible. Those roots have got to go down deeply into Christ himself. This is what Paul says about the Colossian Christians in Colossians 2 and verse 6. Listen to this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. They received him, you see. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See, that is a problem with these shallow ground hearers. If your heart is shallow, what it means is that you haven't been rooted in Christ. The seed has not gone down deeply into your heart, and you are not depending upon Christ alone for your salvation. You're probably depending on other things. Well, they'll all fail you. Your good works, your religious upbringing, your religious works, your church attendance, none of those things are ever going to last. because you don't have Christ. That's what you need. You need Christ in your heart. So that's the reason why these people don't last. The other reason is because trouble and persecution come. That's true for every one of us. It's not very long after you become a Christian that the trouble starts. The devil doesn't like it. And if he can come and disrupt your life, he will do that. Sometimes it comes very quickly after conversion. And we need to be very careful. You know that the Puritans who were Baptists, who baptized by immersion, they often were asked about their children. Because, of course, the Peter Baptist Puritans would baptize their children. But the Baptist Puritans had to decide when to baptize their children. It's always a very difficult question, isn't it? When do you baptize a young person? Very often children will come at a very, very young age and want to be baptized, and you've got to decide. Well, some of the Baptist Puritans gave this answer. They said, we will not baptize our children until they have been through some trial. Because when our children have been through a trial, a testing period, then we know whether their Christianity is really true. We know whether they have been rooted in Christ or not. So they would wait to see their children go through a testing time. And there are all sorts of things that can test our faith, aren't there? All sorts of things. A challenge, an illness, something where we are faced with opposition. Well, you want to see how young people face that. And if they come through it still holding on to Christ, you say, well, there's a true believer. We can never be 100% sure, can we? But that's a good principle, I think. Because when trouble or persecution comes, the shallow ground here just, well, disappears. The good soil, on the other hand, represents a deep heart. A deep heart where the root goes down into Christ. The word is received and considered. It's truly received and it goes deep, deep into the heart. It becomes a secure principle of life. Christ becomes all in all. Christ is meditated upon. He is loved and he becomes the only source of life. That's the deep heart. So there's the question tonight. Do you have a shallow heart or do you have a deep heart? Is Christ rooted in your heart? Or better, are you rooted in him? Have you got your foundations of your life firmly in Christ himself? Or are you depending on something else? Because everything else is going to fail you. Only Christ can save. So have you got a shallow heart or a deep heart? And then the final question, of course, is this. Do you have a contaminated heart or a clean heart? That sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? But that's what Jesus is talking about here. The final, the third type of soil is the thorny ground. The thorny ground. Now, the thorny ground represents the contaminated heart. Listen to verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So the thorny ground represents the contaminated heart. Now the word of God enters the heart, yes. The word of God is received and heard, yes. But the problem is that there are other things already in that heart. There are other things already rooted there. May not be apparent at first, because just as you might sow some seed on what you consider to be good ground, and everything looks good, it's only after a while that you begin to see that the weeds and the thorns and the thistles are growing there. You didn't know they were there, but they were there. And they grow up, and often they will choke the good seed. And so it is with Christianity. When Christ is preached and the gospel is preached, if the heart is already contaminated with other things, then very often the gospel gets choked out. It might begin and it might appear to be quite promising, and yet in the end it's choked out. Why is that? And why do we discover this with many people? We discover that there are those who, again, they start so well, and we think they're truly believers, and they don't carry on. What is happening? Well, what's happening is that they've already got other things in their heart. The worries of this life, says Jesus. If we cared about the life to come more than the cares of this world, then the plant would flourish. But very often we have the cares of this world, the cares of this life, more important than the cares of the next. And very easily the cares and the worries and the anxieties of this world can overtake our desires for eternity. And they can distract us, they can divert us, and they can cause us real problems. Like Martha, we need to hear from the Lord that these cares are distracting and weighing us down, when only one thing is needful: to listen to Christ and to his word. But not only the worries and the cares of this life, it's also the deceitfulness of wealth. Not the worries now, but the deceit that riches bring with them, mean that we don't prosper. You say, well, I'm rich, I've got all that I want, I'm okay, thank you. And you start relying on those riches. You believe that you're immune to trouble, that you've got everything you want, and you can buy your way into anywhere. But that's a deceit, you see, isn't it? Riches are essentially deceitful. They are like the emperor's new clothes. It's not money, it's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. And it's not riches, but it's our reliance on riches that is deadly. And so Jesus says that there are other things in this heart, other priorities, other things that are going to grow there, and eventually those things will become more important to you than Christ. And the moment that those things become more important to you than Christ, whatever they might be, then the seed is choked and there is no longer any evidence of gospel in your life. The good soil represents the clean heart. Clean because these things have already been removed. Because the Spirit of God has already been there. You see, that's the point. The Spirit of God has already been there. You must be born again. Your heart needs to be made new by the Holy Spirit. And when that heart is made new, then you will have a clean heart. David in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. The old heart has been taken away, and the new heart has been given. A heart that seeks the Lord. A heart that rejects both the worries and the riches of life, because it is rooted in Christ alone and will have nobody else in the heart but Christ. And so there it is, the parable of the sower. The way we enter the kingdom is by hearing the message of the gospel. So we've got to continue to preach it. We've got to continue to share it. We've got to encourage people of all ages to hear this gospel. Our hearts are naturally hard and shallow and contaminated. All this is the result of sin. So we must recognize where the problem lies. The problem is not in Jesus, the sower. It is not in the message, the gospel. The problem is always in the human heart, in every one of us. And we can only respond when the Holy Spirit changes the heart. So you know what that means? It means that we must pray. We must pray for our brothers and sisters, our friends, our parents, our cousins, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our neighbours and our friends, our work colleagues. We must pray for them, because only the Holy Spirit's work in the heart will enable them to receive the gospel message from you. Yes, you've got to keep on telling them the message. Don't stop telling them the message. Don't stop encouraging them to come and hear the preaching. But pray that God will give them a heart to receive that message, because it's only the work of the Spirit that will do that. And the evidence that our hearts are changed is that we receive the message and we bear fruit in our lives. A changed life will naturally spring from a changed heart. So we must look for fruit. Different quantities? Yes. Because the spiritual condition of every hearer is different. There are some who are strong spiritually, and they can get so much out of the word of God. They're eager to hear the word, and to apply it to their own lives. They spend their time thinking about the word and by the grace of God, understanding it more deeply. Others, perhaps, not so spiritually aware, weaker in faith perhaps, or maybe at a low ebb, and we're not going to bear such great fruit from the sermon. And then there are different times in our lives, aren't there? There are times when our spiritual receptivity rises and falls. Children develop and grow, and as they grow, we expect them to bear more and more fruit because they bear fruit in accordance with their abilities and their understanding of the Word of God. But it's the same with us. Perhaps when you're going through a really difficult time, tragedy strikes, then you can be tremendously fruitful because you're attentive to the word, you're receiving the word, and it's bearing enormous fruit in your life at that time. But there are other times when we're more relaxed, perhaps, and when we're distracted, and when other things have become perhaps a little too important in our lives, and then the word of God is not so effective in our lives. So there are different times when we bring forth maybe 30, 60, or 100-fold. But there will always be fruit, if our heart is right, if our heart has been prepared by the Holy Spirit. So there's a question for you today. As you examine your heart before the Lord, do you have a hard heart or a soft heart? Do you have a shallow heart or a deep heart? Do you have a contaminated heart or clean heart? If your heart is right and the Holy Spirit is working within you, then receive the gospel message. Receive Christ. Come to him. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to change your heart. He came into the world that you might know God and bear fruit for his glory. And you will not find that anywhere else. So don't dismiss the word of God and don't allow other things to come in and choke it. Rather, by God's grace, may the word of God bear fruit in every one of our hearts for his glory.